This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. The judge has ruled that critical murder motive evidence can be admitted into the trial. Judge Clifton Newman approved prosecutors' request to call critical witnesses in Alex Murdaugh's family murder trial. The state alleges the disgraced lawyer killed his wife and son to distract from his financial crimes. Now, you may be asking, we've heard some of this testimony already. Correct. We've heard it last week. However, that was not in front of a jury. It now moves to be in front of a jury, which will then decide the fate of Alex Murdaugh. This is from the courtroom today and the judge announcing that decision.
This issue is before me on the motion of the state to admit evidence pursuant to Rule 404B of the South Carolina Rules of Evidence and also under the theory of res gestae. Of course, the defendant is on trial for murder of his wife and son. And over the course of the past several days, we have conducted an extensive in-camera hearing. The court has reviewed all of the exhibits submitted and I've considered the testimony of each and every witnesses, and I have concluded that the motion should be granted. Under the law of this state, evidence of other crimes is not admissible to prove the character of the person in order to show action in conformity therewith. An exception, however, exists when the evidence is offered to show motive, identity, the existence of a common scheme or plan, the absence of mistake or accident or intent. And before admitting this evidence, the court must first determine if it's relevant. Our rules define relevance as evidence having any tendency to make the existence of any fact that is of consequence to the determination of the case more probable or less probable than it would be without the evidence. After determining relevance, the court must determine if the evidence falls within an exception to Rule 404. In determining if an exception exists, the evidence must be logically relevant to the particular purpose or purposes for which it is sought to be introduced. And this requires the court to analyze whether a logical nexus exists. Evidence is logically relevant when it reasonably tends to prove a material fact in issue. And, of course, the evidence of any other crime offered to be admitted into evidence or proven or testified to must be proven by clear and convincing evidence, and the court is to conduct and required to conduct an analysis under Rule 403, which weighs the probative value versus the prejudicial effect. According to the state, the nexus is supported by the unusual circumstances of the murders in that the defendant was the last person to see his wife and son alive and the one who discovered the bodies, all in a relatively short period of time. The state has presented evidence in this in-camera hearing, evidence of numerous financial crimes allegedly committed by Mr. Murdaugh. The state argues that the logical nexus between the murders and other crimes is that the looming exposure of financial crimes provided motive for the murders and is evidence of malice, an essential element of the crime of murder. On June 7th, the defendant was confronted about $792,000 missing from the law firm. Beyond that sum, the state contends that millions of dollars were misappropriated by the defendant, and this misappropriation would imminently be exposed. We've heard from the bookkeeper for the law firm, Gene Seckinger, who testified to confronting the defendant on the day of the murders about the missing $792,000 from a case that he worked on with attorney Chris Wilson. She had previously questioned Mr. Murdaugh concerning the improper disbursement of fees in the case of the estate versus Hirschberger, wherein it's alleged that Mr. Murdaugh sought to put the fees in the name of his wife, Maggie, to hide them from discovery in the boat case. She testified that the firm conducted a forensic audit, which then documented millions of dollars of misappropriated funds by the defendant, funds that the law firm had to replace. The defendant and his son, Paul, have been sued following the fatal boat crash, and the defendant had been served a motion to compel production of his financial information. On the day of the murders, according to the testimony, the defendant was preparing for the motion to compel, which was set to convene in 3 days. We've heard testimony from Jan Malinowski, the president and CEO of Palmetto State Bank, who provided testimony and documentation to millions of dollars owed by the defendant to Palmetto State Bank, all while the defendant was frequently carrying a substantial negative account balances. Michael Gunn, a consultant with Forge Consulting, testified that the defendant created a fake bank account using the firm name of Forge. And according to the testimony of Ms. Seckinger, this fake account was used as main depository for a substantial, if not most, of the misappropriated funds. We heard testimony from attorney Chris Wilson about confronting the defendant about the missing $792 and the personal sum to him owed of $192,000 was later discovered. And that testimony or that confrontation took place on June 7th. Mr. Murdaugh later confessed to having stolen those funds along with committing a multitude of other crimes, and also claimed to be suffering from drug addiction. We heard from Michael Satterfield, who Mr. Murdaugh, according to him, represented in a lawsuit against himself involving the death of Gloria Satterfield, Michael Satterfield's mother, who was the housekeeper of Mr. Murdaugh. He testified that he'd heard of the through the reports that money had been recovered in the case. And when he discussed it with Mr. Murdaugh told him that no money had been recovered and it would take a year or so. It was later revealed that money had been recovered and that a confession of judgment was later issued in the sum of $4,304,000. Also received testimony from Mr. Carson Burney from the State Attorney General's office, who traced funds in and out of the bank account. I find that the jury is entitled to consider whether the apparent desperation of Mr. Murdaugh because of his dire financial situation, the threat of being exposed for committing the crimes which he was later charged with, resulted in the commission of the alleged crimes. While motive is not a necessary element, the state must prove malice, and evidence of motive may be used to prove it. And in this case, since the identity of the perpetrator is a critical element that must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, evidence of motive may be used in an attempt to meet that burden. This evidence of other crimes is admissible and it's non-propensatory, as it does not suggest to the jury that the defendant has a tendency to commit murder. I specifically find that these other crimes will not lure the jury into declaring guilt on a different ground or than the specific charge. Thus, it is non-propensatory evidence and supported by state law. Therefore, this non-propensatory evidence of other crimes is admissible under Rule 404B and Rule 403, and that the evidence, which may be prejudicial, but it's more probative than prejudicial. As to res gestae, the state alleges that Mr. Murdaugh was under immense pressure after being confronted about the missing fees, the upcoming hearing on the motion to compel his financial information, his dire financial straits, and the looming exposure of this criminal activity. And the state contends that that situation led to the murder of Maggie and Paul Murdaugh. Our courts have held that where evidence of other crimes is an integral part of the crime for which a defendant is charged, or it is needed to aid the jury in understanding the context with which the crime occurred, then that evidence is admissible under the theory of res gestae or res gestae, as some might pronounce it. I find that the activities and conduct as of the defendant on June 7th, 2021, as testified to, is admissible under res gestae, and that this evidence furnishes a part of the context of the alleged crime. It's necessary to the full presentation of the case, which the state is entitled, particularly since the state is relying heavily on circumstantial evidence. I find that it is so intimately connected with and explanatory of the crime charged under the theory that the state is seeking to prove, that proof of it is essential to complete the story. Now, of course, have further declared that where the full presentation of the evidence is admissible, that there is no reason to fragmentize the events under inquiry by suppressing parts of the res gestae. Further, in State v. McGee, the court held that where res gestae, evidence of res gestae or part of res gestae is properly admitted, then no 404B or Lyle analysis is reached. However, as to the finding of admissibility of evidence, which I have done, and the finding of it within the res gestae, I've nevertheless conducted a Rule 404B analysis or Lyle analysis, though not needed. In conclusion, the state's motion to admit the other evidence or evidence of other crimes is admitted. I will file a more formal order granting the state's motion later today.
That's the latest for you in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. We'll have the latest for you right here on this channel. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates and courtroom coverage as it comes down. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.